Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man, but I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of Take Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Talk Straight is a radio format designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute in our efforts to have a national dialogue. Our weekly topics are focused on issues that confront our families and communities, and from time to time we invite guests on who have certain experience or expertise in a certain field of study. And we use this as a means by which we can open up our national dialogue and have each and every one of you be a part of that relevant conversation. Okay, having said that, we welcome each of you to the show, and the number to call in here is 657-383-0944. We invite everyone to call. All we ask is that you make your conversation relevant to our topic of discussion tonight and that you show courtesy to all of our listeners, our callers. We all have something to offer. The expectation is not that we're going to agree on everything, but certainly that we will be able to work together in harmony. All right. Having said that, to fully understand the motivation of young people who engage in risky and counterproductive behaviors, one should consider their core social orientation. During our last episode on Tuesday, I introduced my coined phrase, the ghetto trap syndrome. The Bible tells us that in all of our getting, we should get an understanding. And that's really where we're focusing tonight in this open microphone discussion, is getting an understanding about really what's going on. The topic is ghetto trap syndrome, outcomes of the urban poverty experience. Now, I didn't need to go to a formal educational institution to know how to speak from that framework. My life was my education, so it very much was a school without walls. However, we're going to open up the conversation, and as usual, for our first-time listeners or first-time tuning in to us, we offer a monologue to give some context for our dialogue so that we'll have a frame of reference of what we're speaking of, excellent opportunity to really learn some of the factual basis for assertions made by your host. Not that I'm right because I said it, or that anyone else is wrong in what they say, but certainly we'll have a framework for that dialogue. And with that in mind, I will move right along to our monologue. We hope to have Pastor Ricky Waller to join us, and I see we got a caller in queue already, and just bear with us if you don't mind, caller. We'll be right with you. We'll be right with you. We got a caller, and we'll open up the phone lines. Again, the number for you to call if you're listening via Facebook or any other of our means, the platform here at Blog Talk, the Blog Talk studio radio platform, or Twitter or an email. The number is 657-383-0944. All righty, now that we got past our tongue tiedness, to our monologue. Again, the topic is the ghetto trap syndrome, outcomes of the ghetto experience. Wisdom is the principal theme. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So says the writer in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Formerly, a ghetto is a part of a city, especially a slum area, occupied by a minority group or groups of minorities. It can be referred to as the process of putting or restricting or isolating groups and segregating them in an area specifically to themselves, forcing them to have to operate from the same economic resources, material resources, and things of that nature. In his book, From the Plantation to the Ghetto, August Meir describes the Great Migration Movement of more than 1 million African Americans out of rural southern United States from 1914 to 1940. Most African Americans who participated in that migration moved to large industrial cities such as New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Minneapolis, Seattle, Detroit, Boston, Milwaukee, St. Louis, Oakland, Los Angeles, and Long Beach, as well as other smaller cities, ultimately. Hence, the migration played a significant role in the formation or the growth and development of the expansion of African-American neighborhoods across the United States of America. Of course, we know historically when slaves were brought from Africa, they came off the East Coast, and then later they came off the Gulf Coast because it was a warmer climate, and that's how most of them got down south originally. However, we're describing that great migration again of the African Americans. Now, from 1940 to 1970 was a second wave of migration. My parents were in these numbers in 1957, leaving Mississippi, coming to Chicago, as perhaps some of yours were. Another 5 million people left the South for the North and western cities such as California and Oklahoma. They went there in search of jobs in industrial America to improve their quality of life. Unfortunately, violence was the outcome of some of the pressures that these migrants faced when they got to these cities. A case in point is the Detroit riot of 1943, major race riot. And after that, there were several riots. There was a time, a period called the Red Summer, where there was all these riots. And the frustration and the problem was it was too many blacks coming at one time. And the fear was they're taking our opportunities, taking something away from us. Well, who were these people that were there already? Mostly European immigrants that came early on. and that began to work in the factories in these industrial areas. Well, for African Americans, the way businesses responded to it, or cities responded to this heavy influx of blacks from the South, banks and insurance companies, businesses, began a practice commonly known as redlining. And it's a process by which they deny or increase the cost of services, such as banking and insurance and access to jobs, access to health care, and even supermarkets for residents to shop at, right? They make it difficult for them to do so. And awfully, these were determined on racially determined factors. The most common use of the term relates, though, to mortgages when it comes to having a piece of the American dream, buying a home. These folk had it hard. All they wanted to do was to live the American dream. But there was somebody was fighting against them. Well, what happened? What happened, Doctor? Data on house price, data on house prices, and attitudes toward the integration process suggest that in the mid-20th century, segregation was a product of collective action taken by whites in power to exclude blacks from their neighborhoods. This meant that ethnic minorities could secure mortgage loans only in certain areas. You stay over there, and we'll stay over here. And it resulted in large increase of urban decay across America. Now, again, what we want to do is explain how we got here. Okay? Why is it that when you go to certain precincts, political precincts across America, there is dire poverty, and you see dilapidated homes and properties and things unkept and so forth and so on? How did this come about? Well, in part, some of this was forced. The ghetto trap syndrome that I described, it was a process by which socioeconomic means were used to engineer certain stressors politically, socially, and force individuals into certain behaviors and limiting them in certain arenas. Now, as I mentioned, during our last episode, while I was describing the character type of little man, which is an all-too-familiar character type, I introduced that concept, ghetto trap syndrome. And let me just redefine it just for the sake of our conversation tonight. I define it as a socially economically engineered disease where one is born in a broken home without the promise of a father and a mother to rear them to a point where they become a productive citizen of the world. They live in a poor community, very much like we're describing, these ghettos. They receive a substandard education. We're taught that education prepares you for life, and it empowers you, gives you voice. But these individuals live in neighborhoods where they go to schools where they're failing them to educate them and to prepare them. Okay? In addition to going to those substandard schools, they're exposed to acts of violence, and ultimately they feel as though the only way I'm going to look out for myself or to take care of myself is prepare myself to either kill before I get killed. Furthermore, violence is perceived as a necessary tool of survival. I submit to you that this social condition is perhaps the greatest outcome historically over the last 40 years or better of the African-American ghetto experience. And that's what the ghetto is. Now, lastly, let me introduce this to you. The behavioral psychologist Burgess Frederick Skinner is often referred to as the father of what's known as operant conditioning, which is a type of learning where behavior is controlled by the consequences of punishment and reward. Key concepts in operant conditioning are positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement. Positive punishment and negative punishment. while conducting research for my doctoral studies, I proffered my theory around the thought that in the ghettos of America, there exists an invisible line, or the ghetto line, as a result of apparent conditioning. My people, African Americans, have learned to turn all of their frustrations on one another out of fear of crossing the ghetto line. Let me now turn to our listening audience, and I see I got my good friend Pastor Waller here online, and a caller from 615-3072. I think that number sounds familiar. I'm not going to play that number, but it sounds familiar. Good evening. How you all doing this evening?
I'm great.
Excellent. How you doing, Pastor Waller?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Good. All right.
Good.
You guys heard where we started. 3072, where did I go wrong?
I don't know. I think it goes back again to the very beginning. You mentioned the education and the lack of a promise of, you know, mom and dad there, rearing and parenting. On top of the circumstances, you know, the environment in which they live in. I mean, all of that can spell doom.
Is it unfair to raise this conversation to talk about this topic? Some people feel like we've gotten better. We've arrived now. We don't need to keep talking about that. We don't need to deal with that. Is that true?
No. Of course not.
Hey, 1098. Well, you're no good, brother.
good. I'm trying to get
Come
in.
Come on, was that you, 1098?
Oh, yeah. No, we
right,
have
what
not
were you
arrived
saying?
Yet. No, we have not arrived yet. I think we're kind of sliding back, but we can make a comeback.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And you know what, 1098, I appreciate you saying that, bro. That's really where we have to look at it. Even though things are not where they need to be, the good news is we are able to get where we need to be, where we got to, right? Sometimes we look at this as indictment and as if some kind of way we are going to lose out. No, when you learn from your mistakes, you can improve. That's what I appreciate about Pastor Waller with his effort and his approach. I seen the brother out on the street. I witnessed him get down, right? His whole thing is, man, as hard as I'm working now, I was working that hard to kill and destroy my people. And until you really see him in action, you may not fully appreciate that, which is really the essence of it. And that's why I believe he and I have like spirits in our regard to try to reach our people. But interestingly enough, 1098, what happens is the very people that, like Jesus, you seek to save, they're trying to kill you and shut your mouth.
Exactly.
Write it to me like I'm 3 years old.
I'll listen to you. You know, I mean, like when you bring the truth, you know, the truth is very hard to accept. You know, again, you know, people rather hear lies and you tickle their ears and tell them the truth. Tell them the truth.
Wow.
You know, and that's 365 days a year. You know, if I'm enjoying doing something, you know, and I enjoy it, even though I know it's wrong, you leave me alone, you know?
Right.
Before I
right.
smack you, you know, while,
yeah.
while I shoot you.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. You, Pastor Waller. You there, bro?
Yes,
Pastor? Listen,
yes,
man. I ask myself, even as a preacher, why is it that there are so many people, even in our churches, who have information, right, who have energy, and I really believe they have good ideas, but I ask myself, why don't they come out with them? Why don't they come out the four walls? Why don't they bring it to the people? And I think 3072 suggested this before, get out of the church and go into where people are, even if they're in a housing project in the ghetto. But I discovered, Pastor, tell me if I'm wrong, maybe it's the fear of crossing that ghetto line that was placed on them through redlining and things of that nature. What do you think?
Well, I'm thankful again for such an opportunity tonight to be able to assemble to assemble one with another, you know, presenting true information, because there's nothing wrong with the truth. And oftentimes you would ask, where did I go wrong? I mean, how can you go wrong when you speak in truth? Because that's the only thing that's going to make us free.
That's what the Bible.
When you mention ghetto trap syndrome, I can certainly relate to that. I really can. I can relate to it in such a way where, you know, the trap is set, and you ask about the people in the church, and what is it about them who, quote, should have information, I would say, and why wouldn't they take it to the streets?
Mm-hmm.
When the word of God make it plain, and he said the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So if you have the right information, and I would like to believe it's in the Bible, because that's what most churches have, a Bible in there, and they constantly open the Bible up. And I don't know if they've gotten to that page yet. I've been waiting for a long time, you know, while being out on the street, believing that someday they're going to come out, you know. Even though Isaiah 40 and 31 said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, while I'm out there doing all that I can do, I say, well, maybe they'll show up in a minute. It's been a lot of years that have gone, and they still haven't showed up yet. And so what do I think? Am I giving them the benefit of the doubt? Am I saying they just don't know? Or am I saying that they don't care? Or am I saying they really actually, I think they just don't know what to do. They don't have the right information. So if we stop all of that, what they would call, didn't you hear them preach today? Oh, that was a word today. Okay, if there was a word today, they ever presented to you to say, when you look out on the street, they say, we then who are strong, altogether infirmities. That means that if you're strong in the church, because you know you heard a word today, how can you keep it to yourself? And whom better to receive a word than somebody that's out there caught in that trap? That if you tell them something good on this day, they just might receive it. But if you don't tell them the good news, then what is the use of going to church? Is what I would say. I'm honest about, you know, what I'm dealing with here. This is not something easy for me to talk about, because I don't want to put the people down in the church. I wasn't a church going person. I came into the church only because somebody came out in the streets to say something to me.
Okay.
So that
means
it's a possibility that if they just took time out to say, well, today I'm going to go to the street, I don't care. If the enemy try to tell me that somebody's got a gun, they're going to, I don't care what the news have said, I'm going out here because I have compassion on hurting people. Man, if you ever have churches doing that, you'll see a change. I just believe you see a change, man. So I don't know if they're scared or not, man. And if it was me making a, and I don't like that opinion type thing, because the word of God does say don't be wise in your own opinion. But when you speak the truth, and the Bible says, no good thing would I withhold from them who walk uprightly. So if he's given us the power of his word inside the church, I don't see how we can hold it. I just don't see how. Maybe they don't have it.
You know,
Pastor, that's interesting.
That's interesting, because as we look at the history of the migrations, both of them, the intent was to improve life and the quality of life for everybody, right? Because they knew in the South they wasn't getting anything. The plantation fields wasn't really meeting their needs, and that was horrible. So they went up north because of jobs and opportunities. But when they got there, they realized that there was a European up north like it was down south. And what they had in common is they wanted to keep the wealth to themselves. And black color folk had to struggle to improve their lives, to get some for themselves. Unfortunately, it seems as me, that we've been forced in this area and afraid to cross that line, that ghetto line, to where we turn all of our frustration and anger on one another, and the few that can get out moved out to Peel Hill, and they never try to come back to the hood. You know? What do you think about that, 3072?
What I think, first off, I'm not trying to beat up on the church either. The question was raised why won't, you know, the people go out and share the good news? I think it's all of the above that one of the other callers mentioned, afraid, don't know any better. Some of them don't care. That's the sad reality. And then there's, they don't know what to do. Like, what do I do? How do I even go about starting to try to help? Now, as far as, like, them being afraid to step across the ghetto line or moving out of the area.
I know that's bold. I know that's a bold statement.
I think that I have been guilty of moving out of the area, and not because I didn't care or not because I thought I was better than, you know, the other people in there. However, my behaviors and my mindset was totally different from theirs. So the little that those people work so hard to get, they don't want to see it just gone. Then when that's gone, you can't help nobody else.
Great point.
I don't know. I mean, what do you do?
You make an excellent point, caller, because my wife and I, early on in our marriage, when we raised our children, had that discussion. She knew I grew up in the housing projects, and she grew up in St. Louis in the hood, in a sense. And you know, she says, well, I understand that you come from certain experience, but I don't want my children living that. And I said, well, I understand. You know, I don't want it either. But I was trying to stay, Pastor Wall, as close as I could to my folk, you know, to my peeps, you know, because I love them. But I discovered, caller 3072, that some of them just won't act right. And they'll make you, as Outkast said, go upside your head. I don't want to do that.
Right.
That ain't no good. Right. So how do you balance it, too? Let me get 9906. Good evening. Welcome back, sir.
Good evening. I'm just listening in. I was trying to listen in on the Facebook.
I appreciate it.
I called in.
Look like this is Pastor Dwight Horton, Pastor Waller. Pastor Dwight Horton here in Murfreesboro. Correct, Pastor?
You just blew my alias, man. I was 9906. You just told the folks where I live there.
My man.
You done blew my cover.
Hey, man, we appreciate you coming back with us. We appreciate you coming back with us, though.
Since you said that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Since you said that, though, I'm going to tell the truth.
Okay.
I got out the hood as soon as I could, as fast as I could.
I know what you mean now. I'm guilty, too.
I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Simply because when the first time that I was able to get out of the hood and see life was when I was put on a traveling track team. And they paid for everything. They sponsored me. They flew us all around. First time I ever flew. First time I was in 3-4-star hotels and restaurants and this and that. I came back home. I saw the world differently. And I said, I'm not going to live in this rat-infested place all my life.
Okay? I got you.
And I don't see anything wrong with trying to get out of the hood. But I think, again, I got to go back to old Harriet Tubman. All right?
Yeah.
If you got the freedom, what you do? He went back down and tried to bring some more people out. So I believe that's one thing we need to do. We need to work on trying to help that community get stronger and better. And but we also need to be trying to get some people out to it and get some other experiences so that they can have high aspirations for themselves.
Right.
That is true. That is true.
I mean, that's where it is right there, man. That's where it is. Will you all listen to... I had the occasion, I believe you met Jim Bevel. He came and when I was pastoring some years ago, he came and spoke at my church. He was, for the sake of those who may not know who he was, Dr. King's lieutenant. And he and Diane Nash in Nashville helped organize the sit-ins downtown. And in Selma, he helped largely organize the young people in their protests at the Selman Pettus Bridge. And I had an opportunity to talk with him at great length and interview him and use some of his story in my documentation for some of my literature and my seminar and workshops. Here's some of his message, and I want you all to respond to this when we get just a minute of this.
And all of us look around and we see drug addiction and we see the nation facing with a nuclear winter and we see droughts and we see violence and hate and we see poverty and all kinds of disorders and we see the dread disease AIDS and many other diseases that are taking folks' lives and we see an anemic, uninspired people and we see violent and destructive young people and we see drifting and unspiritual filled churches and we see an education system that's turning out youth that cannot read and write and we see an economy that is on the decline and we have an ecology that is being polluted and waters and atmosphere being destroyed and we see our topsoil being run off of our land into the sea.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. 657-383-0944. We will love to hear your comments or entertain your questions. We're grateful to have our callers on with us tonight. Pastor Waller, Jim Bevel.
Yes, sir.
I believe he did a pretty good job of describing some of the adverse outcomes of the urban poverty experience. Is there anything you would disagree with him on there?
Yeah, I agree with what he said, you know. I really do, man, because when you don't know any better, you cannot do better. But when you know better, it's good to step if you can. And, yes, I enjoyed everything that was said by him. Now, who is it that would cause so much pain on our community intentionally? There's one thing to cause pain, and it's not intentional. But then it's another when it's done intentionally. So the Word of God says, he's lie in wait to deceive.
Right.
Now, that's the wicked.
Mm.
Now,
mm.
You know that the wicked lie in wait to deceive? There's a plan to deceive people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who better to deceive than somebody like me, ignorant, unlearned, and don't know any better?
Help us hold
it. I mean, I'm... You see, so when I was deceived, it took years before I was aware of that. Because
right.
Once you start to grow in the money game,
right,
everything else is secondary, man. And so I was deceived big time. And I also deceived many people unintentionally because the wicked deceived me intentionally. You see what I'm talking about?
That's what's going on.
I get a couple of dollars, but I harm a multitude of people. And that's what's going on today. One of the cats get a little bit of money, a couple of $2 or $3, and harm multitudes of people, not even trying to. And, you know,
right.
it's a sad thing, man. It really is, but that's what's going on. But we know that there's still hope.
Absolutely.
And when the information is out there, hey, man, I'm still looking for a change. And as I think about the church, the people in the churches, if they ever come out, man, I can see the change take place, you know. Got to start somewhere.
Wow.
And here's a suggestion.
Okay.
So we were wondering how to reach these people. Maybe you can't just go and reach everybody in the street, but like stories like Pastor Waller's there and others who may have started out rough, thinking that, you know, that was the way to go, but learning that wasn't. So then our job would be to teach our children, to teach their children, you know, to make sure that cycle is broke.
Correct.
And
right.
That would start a chain effect. I mean, if everybody would just share their lesson and don't condone, you know, the stuff that's going on now. You have experience you can share with
somebody who will listen to you, your family, not just your right. children. You got nieces, nephews, cousins, you
right.
know,
right.
them.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, what I like that what you said, you know, just think, I do that today and been doing it for a while, and I go even further than that. I take it to the streets mm-hmm. on a deep level. And it's ironic that you mentioned that, and I love what you just said. Just take a snapshot, a picture of people being open-minded and saying, "So this brother has some information. Why don't we tap into his information and help him get it out there?" You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? And
mm-hmm.
and be humble, be okay with it, saying that he has the information.
Mm-hmm.
So what? He's the one have it. And we don't know how effective it can be until we try it. So I want to take sure
mm-hmm.
I let people know about a piece of material that they have, a book, that possibly could help multitudes of people. And
right.
I want to make sure to get over in that area. Could you imagine, I mean, the power of change could take place in that piece of material? You never know, because no one has stepped up and say, "But I would like to help you do what I can to help you get that book out." You know, I'm caring so much about my own community right now. That's not anything against other areas,
right?
Because
right,
I'd
right,
like
right.
to take it further.
But
here's the key to it.
Hold on one second. Consider this though. You're making an excellent point. Consider this. Because of a matter of conditioning, I'm looking at B.F. Skinner again now, right? I'm, you know, the behavioral psychologist. Now, a large part of what he did was play around with how you can make people behave in a certain way by the mere threat that if you even speak up and you stand up. Let me give you a case study. When Malcolm X and Dr. King were killed, a lot of the people in their inner circle ran. You hear much from them anymore, did we?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And the fear is, that can happen to me. Psychologically, this is a form of O-parent conditioning, where people become conditioned to know their place and not to step outside of that box that they done put you in. That's deep, ain't it?
That's
some deep stuff,
on.
Man.
Yeah,
I mean, you ask
yourself, on.
With all the black folk that's been educated in America from 1960 to 2017, why don't we own our own schools, and why aren't we making sure our children do well in public education? What's up with all the degrees and the doctors and the lawyers? There are a number of factors. I understand that. I get that.
But
I'm saying, as a psalm as a whole, this ghetto land that's been laid down before us, we've been conditioned, apparently, and I'm saying we because I'm guilty. That's why I'm trying to break out now. Pastors, I'm trying to get out this hole. I'm on the cross, but I want to come down. You understand what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
I believe we can break across that line, and what you'll realize is that the conditioning don't work no more.
Well, I think, too, you mentioned the doctors and lawyers and degreed people. Well, you have to consider too those people that are still conditioning and asleep. So they think just because you guys look the same by skin tone that they supposed to get a back seat. They supposed to get a ride. They supposed
what?
To be excused. Yeah, you help a brother out, you know, and all, you know, all that
what?
Kind of talk. That makes that hard. That's a turnoff for those people. They worked hard to get to where they were. I'm trying to help you do that, but no, you want me to give you what I got. You want me to give you what I got rather than you working for what I got. Yeah.
Carla, you know what the problem is? Part of the conditioning is help means somebody tell you what to do and you follow them and eat at their hand, not they empower you with the knowledge of how to grow your own bread so you can make your whole loaf and not just beg for a slice. You follow what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That ain't helping.
Don't
just give me a fish sandwich. Tell me how to fish, man.
Yeah, but
then
you know,
and then if you gave them a slice,
They expect you to
hold
feed
on one
them.
Second. Hold on 1 second. I'll come right back to you. Finish your thought there. Go.
No, that'll go.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I mean, yeah, so you just, it's like you, it's a no-win situation. I mean, and then what do? Just stay bind and you stay trapped in there because of your love and the hope for your people? No, you have to continue to go and continue to grow. So those that you can reach, you start there. You teach them to reach other people that they can reach and influence. I have some friends that's, man, still in the hood that doing, you know, things that's maybe ungodly and unlawful.
Okay.
The things I try to share with them that's helpful, I do.
Mm-hmm.
They listen sometimes. Sometimes they listen. Maybe one day they'll listen enough to have a turnaround. So I think you just can't stop. You just can't stop.
Okay. Let me get this to 1098. Go ahead, 1098.
Okay, well, I almost lost my thought, but I'm glad you mentioned concern the ones that are educated. A lot of times, well, basically what's going on now is the educated men, when they begin to speak, your social media, your social media avenue, they shut them out.
Yes, sir.
You know, the ones that's trying to come with the real truth, the educated
men.
And like this blog talk show, this is where the real information is. You know, not your everyday television and radio station. You know, this is where it is. These men, they shut them out. I listened to you when you was talking about when Martin Luther King, you know, was killed, Jesse Jackson, and all of them went off theme. You know, but you know, at the end of the day, they sit in these rooms with these white men. And from my point of view, they told them, no, this is what I want you to do. This is the way that I want you to go. Most Negroes like that, from my point of view, are programmed. It was a doctor. I forget his name now. He was talking about Farrakhan. And he stated the same thing. He said, I don't understand why all of these educated people let Farrakhan get away with the things that are coming out of his mouth. But, okay, what, Farrakhan had been in the room with them white folks. Well, no, I want you to keep on preaching this separation. Now, we ain't going to bother you. We're going to let you go on. Jesse Jackson and the rest of. Now, I have a question. The segment that you played, what year was this recorded in?
I think that was in 98 or 99. It was after the Million Man March.
Okay, 98, 99.
Speaking in Chicago. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Right, I want to talk about the school system. Here in the state of Tennessee, you would not get a high school diploma if you can't read and write. You would not get a high school diploma if you can't function in those areas. Now, I kind of figured it was back in the 70s, but I was wrong on that, because you know in the 70s they had these ball basketball players and football players in college that couldn't even read.
Yes,
you know?
In the 80s too.
Also,
you're right. Yeah, in the
80s. Right. And also in my era, you know, graduating in 1975, you had them getting high school diplomas and couldn't read or write. See, that's why I based it on that. But I do agree with that 100%. A lot of these Negroes, they know their place. And a lot of these highly educated people would not stand up and say anything, because if they go to a regular radio station or social media or something like that, they would not be heard. They would shut them down.
That is so true. That is so true. Any comment there, 9906?
I'm just taking it all in. Everybody's, giving a lot of good information. I'm looking at my vision and just trying to get some more information and input on how to do some practical things. We're doing a lot of talking, and I'm waiting for us to get down to the point of action. And then we have to get together as far as come up on one accord, because a lot of us have different ideas, but we're not getting together, and we dilute our strength because we're not working together to accomplish a goal. I did go to one of the vigils for one of our children that got killed, and they said they were going to have an organizational meeting beforehand, I came there and I listened, and there was a lot of talk and a lot of chatter going on. And I waited around, and I just passed out my card, and I said, when we get on to getting ready to do something, the action, you know, I look at it when Jesus did weep, but he didn't keep weeping.
Right.
Jesus did cry, but he didn't keep crying.
He was busy, wasn't he?
He groaned in the spirit, and after groaned in the spirit,
right.
He did Jesus well. But afterwards, Jesus went to work, and some healing got going on. And yes, the powers of evil coming after him because of what he did. But I think, and what I've been inspired to do is, you know, we got to go back to our basics, and because Jesus told us what to do. And Matthew 28 chapter number 18. That's our Great Commission there, right? And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples." And we got to do that. We got to do that by every means necessary. Him to know Jesus, because he told us that if I be lifted up, I would draw men unto him.
I'll draw.
He uses us as vehicles to draw unto him. And then we go as far as the mentality, as far as education, know that we will be renewed in our mind. You know, just as each and every one of us were when we met Jesus, we were renewed in our minds. And so then that's when the education and all that coming on. I have an idea, vision of taking back our community, but again, going back to the basics. I got a baptismal pool. I want to walk the neighborhood and I want to plead the blood. A lot of times we have these visions, and then when the vision's over, that's it. When the cameras are gone, that's it. I want to walk those neighborhoods, walk the streets with as many Christian warriors, we're going to pray and sing, walk those streets, plead the blood, call on the name of Jesus, and then once, if people come around, we're baptized on the spot. If anybody want to be baptized, but we got to have a place for them to go after that for their nourishment and their growth and the cultivation.
Okay, interesting.
Somewhere where we can, where we can take them and teach them, like I said, show them some exposure to some other things and show them that the gift that God gave them, they can legally use their gifts to survive, make a living, take care of their families, prepare for the next generation. And, you know, I do think we have to get into the street.
I'm sorry.
Get into the community.
Okay.
I believe we got to rest of it, get into the community and plead the blood.
All right. All
okay.
Right.
I appreciate
that. Go ahead,
right quickly.
3072, then I want to squeeze a commercial break in there before we get through tonight, and then we can wrap it all up from there. We have plenty of time to talk. Go ahead, 3072.
Well, I mean, I'm all for, you know, religion and the church and all that, but I don't think that the church is going to be the only answer to doing it because, again, we have churches that's formulated. We have members. We have people that go every Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, yet and still they won't go out. They ain't going to help you baptize nobody. They not going to go next door to where they know some get on that they can help with. They're not going to speak up, as the man said, because they don't want their license or their degree or they don't want to draw attention to themselves.
Okay.
So,
you know,
I mean,
Mama,
we...
Can I interject something right there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I interject something right there? I do
right
understand
quickly, go ahead.
That. I do. But I also understand that Jesus took 12, then 11 and wrecked the whole world. All those people that run around playing church, let them keep playing church. But there will be some, there will be five, there will be six, there will be seven, there will be eight, and maybe 10. And I believe with that 10, we can start we can start this spiritual warfare rally thing, because the reason why Satan is so comfortable in the neighborhood is just that. It's too easy for him to do it. There is no opposite reaction to what he's doing. So, again, we got to make the devil uncomfortable in our neighborhood. That makes the devil uncomfortable.
Great dialogue. Hold, let me slide this in, guys, and we'll come right back to it. I like where you are there. Let me slide this in right quickly.
Hello, listening audience.
Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Walking down the street, smoggy eyes, looking at the sky, starry eyes, searching for the place.
Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Ghetto Trap Syndrome, Outcomes of the Urban Poverty Experience. That's what we're talking about tonight. You still have time. The number is 657-383-0944. Call us. We would love to entertain your question or your comments. You just heard War talk about the world as a ghetto. Is that a reality for everybody? Call us online. Pastor Wall, let's start with you. Is the world a ghetto for everybody, Pastor?
According to that song, I'm going on with the song said. I'm not going to say over Preston Taylor as a ghetto, over Giant Hair and all the other places as a ghetto. The world is a ghetto, so there's nobody no better, you know, and no less. That's the way that I see that life designed. It was already made, and it says, choose you this day who you will serve. Now, not everybody know that. Now, they're serving who they choose to serve just because of what's available. What's needed and things like that. However, there's a couple of things that I like to say concerning this, what I'm getting ready to share with you. I mean, it was pretty heavy on me, so if you don't mind, I want to just do this.
Okay,
a couple
go
of
ahead.
Things. And this is, I saw the Bible and the church when I seen it. And so I like to just believe that it has power to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes like, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I would like to think the gospel is the good news. That's good information.
Right.
That's what I like to think, okay? So he said, go preach the gospel to every creature. And that's the thing that I like about it. He said every creature. And then he goes on further to say some things like, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, and he was received up into heaven, right, and sent on the right hand of God. And the next thing it says, and they went forth. That's the part that I'm talking about. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Now, see, how can you be afraid of something or somebody when you're in church glorifying God? And then he says, go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means that those people on the street in what they were so-called called the ghetto, and it's nothing wrong with people moving on with their lives but never forgetting where they came from. And then when you acknowledge that he says, and the Lord would work with you, meaning that if you go out there, he's going to be with you. Okay, now, you think about that part. I said, okay, that's pretty cool. Then, not only that, it goes on and says, we then who are strong.
Okay.
All, whether you do it or not, all to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to please ourselves. What does it mean to not please ourselves? I think he's saying, look, have compassion on other people. If you were in a trap and you got out, would you feel that it's appropriate to go and help somebody else get out of the trap that's in it? And that's where I am with it. So I don't have time to think about all the guns and what they're going to do, because if I think about those things, I'm not going.
Okay.
I'm just not going.
Okay.
So I have to just keep in mind that if the people in the church will not go, and then God has been good to me, sent somebody out there and got me out of the streets, and there was someone in the church now.
And then
all this information that I've received, and say, I'm just going to ride on by them. I'm just going to say, hey, I got mine, you get yours. That's a mentality, man. And then it would be unfair to the people who are out there hurting. With all these churches that's assembled on certain days, for them to have the gospel, which is the good news, and refuse to go out there and believe that the Lord will be with them, you know, and you're going to believe the Lord going to be with you and you're not going to go? Well, wait a minute, hold up. What kind of information is that? You came in church and you know the Lord is with you in church, so when he leaves, he's not with you, huh? I mean, that's
my,
the way that I see you. So I'm thinking, well, maybe they're afraid. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe they're afraid. That's what I'm thinking. You know, I may be wrong. They're afraid, man.
Sound like we hit that ghetto land again, huh? We ran right up to that ghetto land and stopped right there. Oh, no. Wait a minute now. I ain't supposed to do that.
Yeah. The world is a ghetto.
Tonight, Abel, you going to say something?
Huh?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying something.
No, not yet, you know, but, you know, what I have to say, you know, it can hold, you know, because basically I was going to go back to all these educated people again, you know, for whatever reason, they don't do what they do. I'm still trying to understand that, but by the same token, I don't worry about what the other educated men can do. I do what I do when I come in contact with people every day. This is what I do. It was a person came across my mind when we was talking about the education and the Million Man March. Are you familiar with Khalif Muhammad? Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah.
And you know what he said about Mr. Farrakhan, don't you? People like Khalif Muhammad. They wouldn't give him a spot on regular television, probably on MSNBC or Fox News.
That's
or
true.
Whatever. They wouldn't even give him a spot there.
Well,
you know, I mean, so
here's the thing. Here's the thing, Carla. What he does is he encourages people to step outside the box of power that those broadcast networks encourage. You understand what I'm saying? He says things that are not politically correct. and they don't want to lose their sponsors, you understand, by some of the things.
Right, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, this is just for yourself, you know, you're an educated man, so, you know, I believe in a lot of instances you'll go outside of the box. And when it comes to religion, you know, for a lot of people, you know, God's word is God's word. Is that not correct?
Right, right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, I listened to Reverend Waller. He quoted something from Isaiah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the average person would say, well, that's the Old Testament. That has nothing to do with today. Hey, God's word is God's word. God's word is never changing. And see, this
that's
is a
right.
problem, too, that when you go out into the midst of people a lot of times, even if you talk to someone that go to church, well, we don't go by the Old Testament. Why is that? In order to understand the New Testament, you have to reflect back to the Old Testament. Am I not correct?
Okay. Okay. That's an excellent point. And I don't want us to get too off of our topic, but that's an excellent point you make.
well, I mean, you know, I just kind of throw that in to Reverend
Waters. No, that's a good point.
But the recording that I listened to, still today, our youth are extremely violent,
Yes.
And you know,
unfortunate.
But the thing is this: things start inside the home. But once they get out into that environment, you know, they put on another pair of shoes, shirt, whatever, and put dope in the pocket and go on.
That's right.
But
that's right, bro.
Okay.
That's right.
Let me. 3072. You still with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, we're getting your noise from your background. What do you think about what we were just talking about in terms of? You brought up the issue of apparent fear to really go outside of the box. And what I mean by that is the traditional form of worship and outreach for churches, you know. There are even seminaries now that are teaching what they call social outreach ministry and things of that nature. But somehow it doesn't, and I talked about this last Tuesday, all of the meetings and planning folk have been doing in 9606 know what I'm talking about. Somehow we still hadn't come up with a means of finding the courage to step outside of our doors and take what we talk about and actually live that in front of people. I think it's out of fear that those people might kill me. I might lose something, you know? So what about that 32? You raised that issue, which was a great issue. What do you think about that?
I mean, and I can't say that they are not afraid. But, I mean, we leave our homes every day. We choose to go to where we want to go to, you know, events, parties, things of that nature. So with that being said, I think some of it is just a lack of care. Not that they don't care, but obviously they don't care enough to be infected enough to go out and do what they needed to do. Now, I want to raise another question, and maybe this could be a topic for the show. So do you think maybe the ghetto people are maybe holding the people that has went to school, that has gotten out, holding that against them so much to where they can't tell them, they cannot educate them. They don't want to hear nothing they got to say because they don't understand what it's like. They ain't about that life. They, you know, all this ignorant talk. They've been the same place they've been. They just made out. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Let me let
10-98
respond right quick. Go ahead,
10-98. The majority of them are afraid and they feel they can't. They said they can't. This is this is their motivational thinking. They can't. I'm not smart enough to do this. I'm not intelligent enough to do this. I'm going to stick to what is easy, and it's easier for me to keep indulging in antisocial behavior.
Well,
it's not easy. It's not easy for them to keep having to be bailed out of jail. It's not easy to keep going to funerals. It's not easy to have a record and can't get a job. It's not. None of that is easy.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Can I share with y'all something a young man told me a couple of weeks ago? He said, "Man, it's crazy how they will encourage a brother when he get out of jail to throw a big party for him, right? And the things he does that they send him to an early grave, they will praise him, encourage him before they come to a graduation ceremony, encourage him to go to college and get a degree and do something else. I said, wow, that is an amazing dynamic.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that goes back to, well, you hit right there, maybe that goes back to my understanding of that song. The world is a ghetto, the guy saying the song, is because he hasn't seen the rest of the world. All he knows is his world.
And what
he knows is right there in the ghetto. That's all he knows. That's all he's
right.
Ever
yeah.
seen.
Hey, you hit the nail on the head, sir.
Like one guy told me, he said, all I know how to do is pedal. He's talking about doing drugs. That's all I've ever done in my life. That's all I've had.
Wow.
Okay, so it is a re-education going on. And I'm going back
Absolutely.
To what I don't know the name, but the mama said it a moment ago. I do believe, like you said, that it's not just church. There needs to be some other aspects going on. I believe, yes, that communities have responsibility. I believe that mamas have responsibility. And ultimately, that child is responsible for their life. And I also believe that the government has responsibility because they must deal with, and based upon the Constitution, the welfare of the people. Okay?
Right.
So everybody does have. But I do believe that the core of this, I believe that the ideology, the influence of it all, the core of everything we do has to be wrapped down in the Christian values and the Bible, and or else it's just going to be a temporary fix. If we're going to take back our community, we got to be aggressive. We cannot, I always tell students, I tell them, my haters are my motivators. So all those people that are naysaying, and if the church people, and they're scared to go out there and listen, they don't discourage me. They inspire me because somebody got to step up and put it into it. Somebody got to jump else. As I said, as long as the devil's comfortable, he's going to keep going. Don't think he's going to stay in the spot now. As well, if we don't deal with little Johnny with his pants hanging down on the street corner, this is going to find little Johnny up in our, knocking in our back door. All right, kicking in our back door, sitting out
there. That's right.
So I dealt with little Johnny out in the street because he was hanging out on the corner and shouldn't have been out there doing what he's doing. I wouldn't have had to worry about him kicking in my back door. But because
I'm
I was
free.
Ignorant to him, I went to my parties and I did all the other kind of stuff, went to work, and I found that little Johnny was in my house stealing my stuff. So what I'm saying is somebody got to bring that Christian force into the midst. Don't worry about all these churches that aren't doing. Give me one, two, three, four, five folks that are willing to get in. But like I said, where I am at is when you have someone coming, running, saying, what must I do to be saved? Okay. Yes, we can pray with them. Yes, we can teach them, we can train them. But we also need to be able to cultivate their talent and gift and be able to show them places where they can, show them how to fill out an application. We need to show them how to fill out resumes. We need to show them how to use education. We need to be able to take some whatever, put pressure on our mayors and councils to fund the programs without trying to restrict our Christian values in the midst of it all. You know, and so what I'm saying is we once we go out cleaning the blood, I mean, people come running because they're going to run. They don't mind. If people, we get out there and do what we're supposed to do, they won't be able the Bible says in 28, Matthew, and 18, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So Jesus had all authority. All authority.
Mm-hmm.
He said, therefore go. And that means he's giving us authority. If he told us, I got the authority, now you go, he's telling you, I'm right there with you. I'm backing up. People didn't mess with me in the neighborhood. You know why? Because I had some big brothers that had some authority around there. And little brothers would walk in the neighborhood with his chest out because they knew that if they messed with me, they had to mess with my big brother. In this case, Jesus is my big brother. So they would know he can't mess with me because he put that blood on me. He put see the blood.
Yeah, that's your big brother.
See that blood.
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
I'm going to take care of him.
Okay.
My big brother give me a shoulder, but we have to get together on one accord and have the same mission to go out there. And I'm like the pastor. Waller. You ain't got time to be scared.
Right.
You know, that reminds me of mama who babied and fell off there at the pool at the swimming pool. Baby fall off in the pool. Mama can't swim, but that's her baby. She jump in that pool and do what? Do everything she can.
Right.
Stay that baby. We at a point in time we gotta
get my
baby. We ain't
that's
got
right.
time. We got time to be scared. We gotta save our baby.
All right. I want to squeeze this last statement from Bevel Lynn, and then I want you to respond to that, Pastor Waller. If you don't mind, we got about 19 minutes. Man, look at the time. Good God. I think we're going to have to extend some of these shows to 2 hours here. But right quickly, let me go here before our time ran up on us.
Proceed, interpret, and conduct yourself correctly in the now. Because God calls us to act correctly, not after we die and go to heaven, but in the now. We must be righteous in the now, not tomorrow, in the now. We must be able to do the right thing the right way for the right reason and get the right result in the now. Too many of us want to live as slaves and have dreams about Jesus and then die and go join him. Too many of us want to talk about what we're going to do after we get to heaven, but we are not doing what God put us on earth to do now.
Pastor Waller. What happened, man? Pastor, hold on
man.
1 second.
Yeah.
Pastor, let me get the question out, okay? What happens to me if I'm so heavenly that I ain't no earthly good, man?
That's not good.
Talk to me, Pastor. Help me out now. Help me out.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, as the brother,
speak in your phone, Pastor.
Yeah, you're talking about being afraid and you know, things like that, and that's what the brother was saying. And I really admit that, man, because it's not a good thing to say you love God, and then God is all powerful and loving, caring, and kind, and then this is inside of a building where you have him incarcerated inside of a building. But when it's time to go see other people get free, you're afraid to talk about him. And this is something that I couldn't do. I was afraid to do that because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So
I had respect for the Lord.
When he told me to go, I went. But this is what I want to share concerning that, what you just brought forth, the message that the brother was speaking. This is what the Bible says, and I'm standing firm on what the Bible says today versus what I used to do, you know, in my ignorance. And it says very, very clear. It didn't make no mistake about it. It showed it to me. And then I said, man, why did I have to see this? It says a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful speak lies.
Now he said
a true witness deliver souls. Somebody might say, well, you can't say nobody what the word of God said. A true witness delivers souls.
My glory.
That's what the word of God said.
He said, but
a deceitful speak lies. In other words, there's two types of witnesses. There's one that's going to speak lies, ain't going to say nobody's soul. But when you're speaking the truth, they may not come when you want them to. You just have to speak it.
Watch out, man.
That's what I do. See, when I go out, I've been given the instructions. He said, Ricky, when the man came out of the church to say something to you, you didn't go in the church the same day he spoke to you, but he put it on your mind, and you was unable to shake it until you made a decision to step toward me. I mean, I'm making it plain now. And that's what I had to do. I didn't know God, but the man came out and sowed a seed to me. And that's why the Bible says you reap what you sow. The man sowed a seed, and I could not shake it. And for all them years of my life, man, you know, I ended up making a move and went to church, and sure enough, my life changed. So when I go to the streets, I don't expect nobody to just go to church right off or to change their life right off. But the good news is you're carrying the gospel because they need to hear some good news. So I don't worry about what they do as a response of my sharing the good news or walking it, because the Bible said we walk by faith and not by sight. And, you know, faith is something to see, hope not seen. So a lot of those things I have to take with me when I go, because I don't have a lot of people that's out there one on one. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing, man. What we're talking about tonight, I always, you know, be energized by the knowledge and the wisdom that we bring to the table. You know, so I have to say, you know, it's a personal thing with me. It's nothing against the people who don't come out. I just still have to acknowledge it. You know, I have to be aware of it, and I have to learn how to accept it, because I'm still expecting them to come out at some point. But
right.
It could be, again, they are afraid, man. But a true witness is going to go out there and do it.
Let me,
and a deceiver
can I say this?
Going to be talking, but they're not going to walk it. That's
Ooh.
What I see for you. And I just don't want to be
can
a
I say this?
You, you know? Yeah.
Can I say this?
When
you find a man or woman that is hungry and you bring to them food, they'll eat it. And
yeah, you're right.
If you bring to them a drink, a glass with a cup that is dark and murky and got things floating around in it, and you bring them nothing else, they'll drink that out of thirst. But if you offer them at the same time, love it, a second glass, a choice that is clear and pure, which cup do you think they'll take naturally?
Man, I think they're going to take that clear one myself.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
But if all they have is filth, if all they know is degradation, all they know is shame and discord, all they know is the outcomes of the ghetto experience, guess what? That's what your baby's going to give you. That's what little man is. That's that stuff that little man is on. He don't mean no harm. He just giving you what he knows. And I think that's what 9906 was talking about. The only world they know, Brother Pastor, the only world
that's
they know
right.
is that world.
That's
all they know.
Brother.
And
yeah,
who can
man,
be mad at them?
Nobody, man. You can't get mad at them for being out there in that trap. Need to get out there and help them get out of it. I know that.
If you care.
No.
If you care.
Yeah.
If you
I
care.
Tell you,
so,
man.
So 3072, all these black men on there run their mouth. What the sisters looking for?
What do you mean?
I'm including myself in that. What are the sisters looking for us to do?
Oh, wow. Stand up and be real men. I mean, the Bible gave you instructions on how to be a real man, even. I mean, how to love, how to respect, how to help. You don't have to be in bed with a woman in order to help her out. You know, you don't have to be somebody's husband to help, you know, somebody else's children. Just Yeah, to stand up and be a real man. And guess what a woman is going to do? She's going to recognize a real man, just like he's going to recognize a woman.
That's deep. That's deep.
So,
That's deep.
With that being said, you guys were talking about, I done lost my train of thought before Pastor Waller was saying something about, what was your last thought again, Pastor?
About the true witness. Deliver souls, but a deceitful witness
keep
lying. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And that is, to me, exactly the truth. So we do have to not talk, but just go out there and do it. Just try to do it. And, again, you don't have to have 10 people standing behind you. Like he said, he was a one-man crusade in some instances. Yeah, you chip away. If you continue to chip away piece by piece, I think – the hood need to be destroyed. It needs to be torn down. Take that away, so that's not even an option anymore.
They are tearing the hood down. They are doing it. They are doing it. Look around. It's doing it everywhere. They're doing it.
No. Listen, I'm speaking seriously as far as, like he was saying, going out and teaching. If we infiltrate families, our families, starting our friends, and just teaching people a different way of life, that will tear the hood down.
That's right.
Show them
there's other options out there.
Other choices.
That's beautiful.
That's
beautiful. Well, thank you, man. Boy, I feel like Reverend Horton, I think I can come on down off the cross now, man. I feel like a saint.
I'm inspired by the fact that we have such like vision, even though we're all from different eras, and we're understanding that there's a need and we have a heart for it. And I'm inspired by the fact you say on the cross, he told us, if I be lifted up from earth, I will draw all men under. But we find in the commission that how he's going to draw men unto him is by us, going forth. Going. All right. And what did he say? Go and make disciples of all nations. Yeah, but we ain't Christians. How do we go? Whoever. You know, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the God. Don't matter. And he told us, I'm going to be with you. Don't be scared.
Yeah,
I'm going to be with you. Now, and the other thing, I'm seeing a light spirit. Y'all talking about what the brother's going to do. I'm not. Last message last week was just that. I'm called the blood brother. I'm getting another name for disciples and Christians. Our blood brother. So stop crying and man up. That was last week's topic. Stop crying and man up. There's a time for crying. Like I said, Jesus wept. There's time for crying. It's time to speak out. But when you keep on speaking, it turns into what? Whining and complaining like a little baby. All right? After you, you spoke up, said what you got to do. It's not time out for talking, now it's time for action. And I think that may have been a little good in me, too. we used to talk, but then it got to the point, we got to get down to action. It's about a lip.
Right.
Hey, let's go down to the field. It's time to fight now, right?
Back
3272, go ahead. We got about 7 minutes here.
Okay, I just wanted to share a quick experience that I had. Back to what you were asking, what do the men need to do? Last summer, my car broke down because I wasn't putting gas in it. I had money, I just didn't put gas in it. So a nice man stopped along the road to, what can I do? What's the problem? I told him what the problem was. Well, the man, I'm looking all nervous, like, okay, is what he want, you know. Is he going to try to get my number? Is he going to try to? No, this man was so polite, so cordial, took my money. I understand, ma'am. I wouldn't even ask you to ride with me. I'm going to ride to the gas station and bring your gas back. So surely when he got back, put the gas in there, I'm just knowing, oh, he's going to ask for my number. No, he told me to have a good day. I'm like, wow, that is so beautiful.
That's all?
Yeah, and there are real, that's it. Man, but there are truly real men still. There's still real men out there. What I'm saying is we see such the opposite to it becomes, like you said, the when I tell another female that, did he try to talk to you? Did he? No, because that's what you expect because that's what the norm now is. It's abnormal for a man to be a man and do things like that.
Right.
Which is sad. But yeah, that's the world we live in.
The good news is that there's hope.
Yes.
And I appreciate what you're saying because the truth is, brethren, it's easy for us to get in arguments, whether you're white, black, or whatever. It's easy to get in an argument with someone, but it's a greater challenge for you to seek to find unity and like-mindedness so that you can move. Right, and I appreciate what you're saying because I'm one of those who know that we have to do that. We have to make it light and easier for even women to trust us, women of all ethnic or trust that you ain't on some kind of take and trying to, you know, do anything. Listen, it is five. We got five minutes. I want to hear a final thought from each of you guys before we leave, and I want to encourage our listening audience to follow us. We've been trying this live stream deal, and I hope it's working out. I hope people can hear our listeners our callers on the air as well, and we encourage you to call in with us as well. Got about 5 minutes, but let me start from you, 372, and then we'll go to you, Outcast, and get 9906, and Pastor Rolla, bring us up in the rear, and we'll get on out of here. All right, in that order.
All right, well, I've enjoyed the show tonight, and again, I think as the Reverend Horton said, you know, we need to just go on out there and do it. Pastor Waller saying the same. You're on board with that. So what's up? I mean, what you going to do?
Hey, what y'all? Bust a move. Bust a move. All right.
Well, all right. I enjoy the program, and I must state that during the conversation, I mean, things just come back to me, you know.
Okay.
And I appreciate it. You know, keeps me on my feet. You know, with me thinking. All
right.
Hey, I go on my data bank now. All right. I'm done.
Well, appreciate that. All right, 9906. If you still got a cover, man, go ahead.
I'm agreeing with everyone. I wish we could get together and start our own movement. Get together and.
Yeah.
Combine resources and set a plan and get into action. Again, I'm far beyond the talk point. It's time to go to action, you know. And so, any way we can
get her
do
done,
that,
huh?
Plenty of people have talked and all that, but I think we should, you know, organize. And that's where I am. We got too many dying as we're speaking. Somebody's getting shot.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting raped. Somebody's getting beat up. Somebody, you know, OD. So we got work to do. We got to save our babies.
Yeah, amen, 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 amen. All right, Brother Pastor.
Amen. I have heard everyone. I thank God for everyone who had a chance to have a say. You know, the Word of God always stands fast in my life, and I've been out there on the street most of my life, but I've been on the Lord's side since 1992. I've been on the ground. I'm stuck. I'm steadfast. I'm out there. I've been out there for all those years. I've done enough work for the enemy for the rest of my life, so the rest of what I'm doing now has got to be Lord. And the Word of God says life and death is in the power of the tongue. So I know the language, both know the language of the enemy, and I know the language of God. And so today, you know, I prefer to do God's will. So I'm going to stay steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the Word of the Lord, that my work, Lord, would always be steadfast and not in vain. So just be encouraged.
Yes, sir. The Word of God says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
All thy getting. Make sure.
Make sure.
Make sure. Be certain.
Uh-huh.
Don't let nobody give you no junk or no game on you. But make sure you get an understanding. And look here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what the devil will do. The devil will hustle you and run up on you, right? And you don't get a chance to think about it, to process it through. So you can't get no understanding. You know that ain't wise. Keep on stepping.
Mm-mm.
Keep on stepping. You've been listening to Talk Straight. We'll be back next, Lord willing, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you for wherever you're listening, and thank you for joining us. Go to our Facebook page. Respond to the questions there. We love the dialogue with you there. And thank you, Pastor Waller. Outcast, as always, my brother, and my good friend, 9906, bless you, and also 3072. We thank you all in our listening audience, those of you that listen. Join us back again for another episode here of Talk Straight next Tuesday night. I believe that will be in November. Time is just flying. We thank you again, and we're going to end with Sam Cooke. He told us that a change is going
to go ahead. Ever since
It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die.